from Storyflow. This is your daily audio brief. Hi, it's Chloe. August 29th. 10 in health. The one that made me reread the abstract is at the top. Let's get into it. First, from New Atlas. Beyond Origami. New algorithm designs expandable 3D lattices. A team from Harvard and Tokyo University has created a new type of expandable 3D structure inspired by origami and kirigami. These designs, which they call collapsible scissored surfaces and pantographic lattices, use rods and scissored joints to allow for movements similar to the Hoberman sphere. While the technical name is a mouthful, the concept is pretty neat. These structures can contract and expand, making them versatile for various applications. This research highlights the intersection of art and engineering, showing how ancient techniques can inspire modern innovations in materials science. It's a small but intriguing step forward in flexible design. Next, second from Science Alert, scientists identify a single protein that may control cravings for fatty foods. Researchers from Osaka Metropolitan University have found that a protein called optic atrophy 1 OPA1 plays a significant role in controlling cravings for fatty foods in mice. This study, published in the Face of Journal, highlights how OPA1 affects neurons in the hypothalamus, which regulates appetite and energy metabolism. Mice lacking OPA1 showed a strong preference for fatty diets and gained weight more rapidly, especially females. While the absence of OPA1 didn't completely disrupt appetite signaling, it did reduce the effectiveness of these neurons. Interestingly, an anti-obesity drug could reactivate the signaling in males, but its effectiveness was diminished in females. This suggests that sex differences may influence how obesity treatments work. Though this research is based on mice, it hints at potential pathways that could be relevant for humans. If similar mechanisms are confirmed in people, it could lead to new strategies for addressing obesity, a major public health issue linked to various health complications. The findings also emphasize the importance of considering gender differences in developing personalized treatments for obesity. Up next, third, from Dead Hidden, Daniel 10 names the hand. The article dives into the complexities of blame and evil, emphasizing that it's too simplistic to pin our struggles solely on identifiable groups or individuals. It references Ephesians 6:12, suggesting that our real battles are not just against people but against larger, spiritual forces. While it's tempting to assign a face to evil, like politicians or wealthy elites, the author argues that this perspective limits our understanding. Instead, the text encourages readers to look beyond the surface, recognizing that true malevolence often operates in more abstract, systemic ways. It's a call to think deeper about the nature of conflict and accountability. And then, fourth from New Atlas, Apollosign's portable 32-inch smart TV is more than just a TV. This device runs on Android and offers full compatibility with the Google Play Store, allowing you to access a wide range of apps and features just like you would on a smartphone or tablet. This versatility really sets it apart from traditional TVs, making it a fun and practical option for those who want more than just streaming capabilities. Whether you're watching shows, playing games, or using apps, the Apollosign combines the best of both worlds in a portable format. Next, fifth from FISE.org, how AI-powered policing is endangering the public's trust in police. Artificial intelligence has rapidly integrated into many areas of society since ChatGPT's debut in 2022, and law enforcement is no exception. However, the adoption of AI in policing has often been hasty and lacks necessary regulations or guidelines. This absence of structure raises significant concerns about public trust in the police. As AI tools are implemented to analyze data and predict crime, there are fears that they may reinforce existing biases, leading to unfair targeting of certain communities. Without careful oversight, these technologies could exacerbate tensions between law enforcement and the public, undermining the very trust that is essential for effective policing. Moreover, the reliance on AI can create a sense of detachment in policing, where officers might rely more on algorithms than on community engagement. This shift could further alienate residents, making them feel like mere data points rather than valued members of their communities. In summary, while AI has the potential to enhance policing, its current application raises critical ethical questions. Balancing technological advancement with accountability and transparency will be crucial in maintaining public confidence in law enforcement. Up next, sixth from FISE.org, rethinking blue-green aphid control as insecticide resistance spreads. Recent research in southern Australia has found that blue-green aphids are developing resistance to commonly used insecticides. This isn't just about how or when the insecticides are applied, it's a broader issue. The study shows that these aphids have adapted to survive despite chemical treatments, which means relying on these methods isn't going to work long-term. The findings highlight the need for a shift in pest management strategies. Farmers may need to explore integrated approaches that combine different methods, like using natural predators or rotating insecticides, to manage these resistant populations effectively. It's a reminder that sustainable practices are crucial in agriculture, especially as resistance becomes more widespread. And then, seventh from FISE.org, many cities buried urban streams. Here's how to bring them back. Many cities have historically buried their urban streams to accommodate development, but there's a growing recognition that these hidden waterways could actually help address some current urban challenges. With climate change leading to heavier rain, fall, and extreme weather, cities are feeling the strain on their infrastructure. Reopening these streams could enhance drainage systems, reduce flooding, and improve water quality. In some places, like Seattle and New York, efforts are already underway to restore these streams, allowing them to flow freely again. This not only helps manage stormwater, but also creates green spaces that benefit local ecosystems and communities. The process involves careful planning and investment, but the potential benefits are significant. By reintroducing these natural features into urban landscapes, cities can become more resilient and sustainable, while also reconnecting residents with nature. It's a thoughtful approach to urban planning that could make a real difference. Next, eighth from Voice for Science and Solidarity by Jerd van den Bosch. Protective measles immunity cannot be reduced to a cutoff in an immunological readout. Recent discussions around measles immunity have stirred some debate, particularly regarding how we interpret immunological data in vaccinated populations. A recent article by Robert Malone suggests that declining antibody levels in vaccinated individuals may signal a future risk of measles, especially among the elderly. However, this view oversimplifies the complex nature of immunity and herd protection. Herd immunity plays a crucial role in safeguarding those with waning immunity. The idea that older generations are naturally immune while younger ones are solely vaccine-dependent misses the nuances of exposure history. Many vaccinated individuals may have encountered wild measles before the virus was eliminated in the U.S. in 2000, potentially boosting their immunity without showing symptoms. A systematic review highlighted that while antibody levels do decline over time, they generally remain above the critical threshold of 120 mU/mL, which is often cited as a marker of immunity. Importantly, the immune system has memory mechanisms that can still protect individuals even if antibody levels appear low. In summary, while antibody levels are important, they don't tell the whole story about immunity. Protection against measles is influenced by many factors, including exposure risk and the body's ability to respond to that exposure. So, while we should be mindful of waning immunity, we shouldn't jump to conclusions about susceptibility based solely on antibody levels. Up next, 9th from Manga Bay, 7 indigenous Guarani killed after loose grain trailer hits car in central Brazil. In a tragic incident on August 14, 7 indigenous Guarani people were killed in central Brazil when a grain cargo trailer detached from a truck and struck their car. The victims, all from a Calapi village in the Tenende Pora indigenous territory, included 2 children and a well-known community leader, Caratego Honorio dos Santos, who was 34. Witnesses reported that the trailer, filled with corn, hit the passenger car violently, causing both vehicles to catch fire. The truck driver fled the scene, and the bodies were incinerated, making identification difficult. Community members confirmed the identities of the victims, highlighting the deep loss felt by their community. Tego was dedicated to advocating for indigenous rights and environmental recovery, making this loss even more poignant. And then, 10th from Science Alert, this 17th century aristocrat had an ingenious secret for keeping her teeth. In 1988, archaeologists cracked open a lead coffin inside the Chaite of de Laval in northwestern France and found something peculiar. A woman who had been dead for more than 350 years, but whose teeth looked better than you would expect. She'd been embalmed, which helped, but something in her mouth caught the team's attention, a strange metal fixture wound around her teeth. Nobody in 1988 had the tools to work out what it actually was or why it was there, so the mystery went back into storage, along with the coffin. That's the read. Small inputs, compounding results. Back tomorrow. If this saved you time, the full feed is free at storyflow.com.